top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
This is the Prime Evening News for today, Thursday, May 2nd, 2024. Here are the headlines. Former Dominica Business Forum President, Architect and Electoral Reform Coalition member Severin McKenzie is concerned about government delay tactics to create electoral reform fatigue.
5DA.com. Right on.
Haiti's Transitional Council made a significant decision on Tuesday by electing Fritz Balazier, a former youth and sports minister, as the country's new prime minister. And hundreds of heavily armored police entered a central plaza at the University of California in Los Angeles early Thursday morning.
Local.
And dismantled a pro-Palestinian protest encampment.
The big stage.
Details coming up next.
DA.com. Right on cue.
Former Dominica Business Forum President, Architect and Electoral Reform Coalition member Severin McKenzie is concerned about the possibility of government delay tactics that might create electoral reform fatigue. He encourages advocates for electoral reform in Dominica not to become silent on the matter due to the purposeful delay in allowing the Electoral Reform Commission to carry out its mandate for electoral reform and reform of the electoral process in Dominica. Though there is still a wide portion of Dominicans interested in these reforms being implemented, McKenzie encourages those who may have lost hope in achieving electoral reforms to keep advocating and to remain practical and optimistic.
As far as electoral reform is concerned, I know that there is a certain level of electoral reform fatigue within the population. So a number of persons who used to be advocating and protesting and shouting for electoral reform have gone silent. And this is why I say there appears to be some electoral reform fatigue. But people must realize that, I think the population have to realize that it is important that we have electoral reform in Dominica because if the electoral legislation is what determines the governance of the country and how the government is placed in power. And what we all agree is that over the recent election cycles, there has not been a level playing field for all political parties or all candidates to have an equal opportunity to win an election.
And that was former Dominica Business Forum President, Architect and Electoral Reform Coalition member Severin McKenzie. A class of 12 brilliant teachers have been trained in special education teaching strategies to incorporate into the classroom. Attending the Dominica State College 2024 Special Education Expo, one of the teachers that completed the course training, educator at the Casabro Secondary School, Ms. Otisha Paul, gave Q95 News a synopsis on the purpose of the expo.
So we are students doing a course in special education, and today our lecturer had this brilliant idea to have us come out with what we learned through the form of classrooms. So we did model classrooms, and we are doing them to include students with disabilities. So we have classrooms, and we also had the options of doing playgrounds. So we have some playgrounds and some classrooms. You will see classrooms with ramps, wheelchair ramps that can accommodate students with mobility issues. And you will see attractive playgrounds that will stimulate students who have neurotypical difficulties and so on.
The 12 teachers who successfully completed the Dominica State College Special Education Program, led by Miss Beverly LeBlanc, are Arifa Francis, Audrey Harris Dublin, Odisha Paul, Dalila Lee, Joel Honore, June Smith John Baptist, Lana Thomas, Leandra Charles, Maria John Pierre, Olabishi Babola, and Priscilla Etienne. During a press conference hosted by the Ministry of National Security earlier today, Director of Public Prosecutions Shoma Dhairampil addressed the recent court ruling on Sections 14 and 16 of the Sexual Offences Act, stating that the social dynamics of Dominica have not been altered by the decision made on April 22nd. Dhairampil highlighted that although her tenure since 2012, she has not encountered any cases involving consensual buggery between adults brought before the courts. Instead, cases typically involve either minors who cannot provide consent or adults who have not consented to the act of buggery.
I have been at the Office of the Director of Public Prosecutions since 2012, and I've never seen a matter of buggery where it involves consenting adults. These matters, buggery matters, are usually brought in the context of where it's a minor who cannot give consent or where an individual does not consent to that act. So rarely there, yes, the court has made certain rulings so that the law can be kept in within the confines of the Constitution. But at this stage, I would say that the social context itself in Dominica has not been changed by the rulings. So don't be scared. Don't think that, you know, what the moral standards that you hold are no longer existing because of that particular case. Now I'm going to take you through the particular sections. Buggery is pursuant to this act, and this was one of the sections that came up for discussion in the case. Section 16 defines buggery as sexual intercourse per annum, and what has happened now is that the court is basically saying that where buggery is committed between two consenting adults, that is a man and a woman and a male and a male, that within the privacy of their homes, there's nothing illegal about that, which really what was happening in Dominica. We were not prosecuting these matters. We have never of that nature.
Dhairampil further emphasized that before the ruling, consensual buggery between adults, regardless of gender, was deemed unlawful. However, following the ruling, such acts between consenting adults cannot be prosecuted. Nevertheless, the law still stands to safeguard minors and individuals who do not consent to the act with strict measures in place.
Prior to the ruling, buggery between consenting adults, be it male and female, male and male, was illegal. Right now it's decriminalized to the extent that between consenting adults, we cannot prosecute these matters. Now we still have buggery on the books, the act of buggery in respect of a non-consenting adult and also in respect of minors. Now members of the public have met me and they've been asking what happens to the recent convictions that have been obtained, because as of recent, the Office of the Director of Public Prosecutions prosecuted over the past 2 years two buggery matters, one of which involved a minor, the other was a non-consenting adult. And so is this case going to be squashed? Is this ruling going to be overturned in keeping with the case? No, solely because what the law, the way in which the law has changed is in respect of consenting adults. So matters we've had before in respect of minors, where adults were brought before the courts for committing the offense of buggery against a minor, or someone was brought before the court for committing the act of buggery against an adult who has not consented. These matters are safe convictions in keeping, because it's in keeping with the recommendations made in the case, the constitutional case.
And that was Director of Public Prosecutions Shoma Dhairampil. At the recent annual general meeting of the Dominica Association of Persons with Disabilities, Minister of State with Responsibility for Senior Security, Children at Risk, Gender Affairs and Differently Abled Cassandra Williams reiterated the government's commitment to caring for vulnerable groups, particularly persons with disabilities. She emphasized the government's dedication to its mandate of inclusivity, ensuring that no one is left behind.
Dominica remains steadfast in continuing to exhibit its profound care and protection for the vulnerable, including persons with disabilities, in ensuring all inclusivity where no one is left behind in our society, as is clearly articulated in the National Resilience and Development Strategy, as well as the Climate Resilient and Recovery Plan. Social inclusion is viewed as a critical pillar since it aims to achieve an inclusive society that entails respect for human rights, cultural diversity, and upholds principles of equality and equity. As a process, it enables all citizens' participation in decision-making activities that affect their lives. As an outcome, it ensures the reduction of inequalities, elimination of any form of exclusion and discrimination, and achievement of social justice and cohesion. At the core of the Sustainable Development Goal 2030 agenda is the transformative promise, leave no one behind. In pursuit of that goal, the government of Dominica in 2012 ratified the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities and the Optional Protocol, which is an international human rights instrument of the United Nations, intended to protect the rights and dignity of persons with disabilities.
Minister of State with Responsibility for Senior Security, Children at Risk, Gender Affairs and the Differently Abled, Dr. Cassandra Williams. Leader of the Dominica Freedom Party, Bernard Ito, emphasizes the necessity of robust labor unions in Dominica, a cause fully endorsed by the party. He underscores that imbalanced power dynamics can result in exploitation and unequal distribution of production gains. Moreover, he stresses the significance of unions being active across all sectors of the economy to ensure workers' interests are effectively represented through collective bargaining.
We must ensure in Dominica, and the Freedom Party is fully in support of that, of strong labor unions. The reality is, once you have unbalanced power, then you're going to have a certain level of exploitation and an unequal sharing of the gains of production. And so it's very important that the unions be there to organize all different sectors of society, I believe, so that they can have that bargaining power to say, when we make the pie, you can't get 90% and we get 10%. We need to talk about how that pie gets divided up. And in all societies where you see the labor union has been weakened, you see the wages stagnating, real wages stagnating for the working class. In fact, that's a big problem in the United States now, when more and more the CEOs, the leaders, the high-level managers get a bigger and bigger share of the profits, and wages are stagnating for the people working in the offices, working in the industry. And so income inequality increases greatly. And in fact, if you look at it and study it, you can see a direct correlation between the downfall or the decrease in labor unions and income inequality, with more and more of the money flowing towards the top 1% and less flowing to the 99%. And so labor unions are critical.
Ito also remarked that in Dominica, the government wields significant influence over both political and economic matters, underscoring the necessity for highly influential trade unions in every sector. This, he believes, is crucial to counterbalance the tatters' power effectively.
And we need to ensure that we have that in Dominica. This is especially true in Dominica, where the government plays such an outsized role in both political and economic affairs of the country. So we need very strong trade unions in every sector to balance the power of the state. Unfortunately, that has decreased from what it used to be in the 70s. We know how powerful the unions were, and we know that that led to Dominicans being able to stand up and challenge the state when they overstepped their bounds, and to ask for the delivery of good governance and economic prospects. And it's an unfortunate development that our unions have been, they're not the unions they used to be, but they still exist, and they need to gather themselves, show leadership, and lead in those areas that we expect the unions to, in terms of seeking the rights and economic progress for their membership. And that's the role of the unions, and I think that role must continue. In fact, that role has to be enhanced, not weakened.
And that was the leader of the Dominica Freedom Party, Bernard Ito. Speaking at the ninth meeting of the first session of the 11th Parliament commenced at the House of Assembly on April 29th, Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit attempted to reassure the opposition parliamentary and the public that when his administration's planned projects are completed, the economic challenges felt by Dominicans will be gone. Prime Minister Skerrit says, regardless of the political persuasions in Dominica, we are all Dominicans and we must all work together on principles.
Notwithstanding the challenges we face, Mr. Speaker, we're looking at big ticket items that once they're completed, the little problems, the little challenges you have, it will go away. Just like a five burner stove, but for working. The next big things we'll have is the cruise ship village and the new port that we'll be placing at Cainfield Industrial Site. So when we get these things, the international airport, the marina, geothermal coming in there, Mr. Speaker. You have the cruise ship village. You have the new cargo port with the technology, modern technology that you require. And all of these hotels that we're building finally open. All we need is for us to work together. We may not always agree, but let's work together. Let's be positive. Let's be constructive. Let's not seek to undermine this country's efforts. Because at the end of the day, as recognized, when a storm comes, everybody was affected.
Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit. In other news, Haiti's Transitional Council made a significant decision on Tuesday by electing Fritz Belizier, a former youth and sports minister, as the country's new prime minister. Belizier, relatively unknown to the international stage, steps in onto the world's most closely monitored political roles with no clear political stance or outlined plans for Haiti's future. The council tasked with leading the Turmos Caribbean nation announced Belizier's appointment during a ceremony in the capital, Port-au-Prince, following Prime Minister Ariel Henry's resignation in March. In the interim, Michael Patrick Bosford, former finance minister, had been fulfilling the role. Comprising seven members, the voting body was sworn in last week with the aim of restoring stability to the troubled nation. Additionally, they appointed Edgar Leblanc-Fils to lead the transitional institution into the country. And hundreds of heavily armored police officers forcefully entered a central plaza at the University of California, Los Angeles in the early hours of Thursday to dismantle a pro-Palestinian protest camp that had been targeted the previous night by pro-Israel advocates.
UCLA's campus was packed with a heavy police presence on Wednesday after violent clashes erupted overnight between supporters of Israel and pro-Palestinian demonstrators. Footage from the early hours on Wednesday showed a firework being thrown into the pro-Palestinian protest camp. More witness footage from UCLA, which was verified by Reuters, showed people wielding sticks or poles to hammer on wooden boards being used as makeshift barricades to protect the pro-Palestinian protesters before police were deployed to the campus. Some screamed pro-Jewish statements as pro-Palestinian protesters tried to fight them off, including Kaya Shah, a researcher at UCLA.
They were coming up here and just, violently attacking us. It was honestly something that I'm kind of annoyed at myself for not seeing it coming, but I just didn't think that it would ever escalate to this level where our protest is met by counter-protesters who are violently hurting us, inflicting pain on us when we are not doing anything.
Demonstrators on both sides sprayed each other with unknown substances and fights broke out. Calm was later restored after police arrived on the scene. The violence followed an announcement on Tuesday by UCLA administrators that the encampment was unlawful and violated university policy. The school's chancellor said it included people unaffiliated with the campus, though he provided no evidence of the presence of outsiders. The October 7th attack on southern Israel by Hamas militants from the Gaza Strip and the ensuing Israeli offensive on the Palestinian enclave have unleashed the biggest outpouring of U.S. student activism since the anti-racism protests of 2020. In New York Wednesday, sanitation workers swept up shattered glass just outside Columbia University's Hamilton Hall, which had been occupied by pro-Palestinian demonstrators. New York City Mayor Eric Adams said about 300 people had been arrested in the action Tuesday night, and he blamed the protests on outside agitators without offering concrete evidence.
That's the Prime Evening News, and here's a recap of the headlines. Former Dominica Business Forum president, architect and electoral reform coalition member Severn McKenzie is concerned about government's delay tactics to create electoral reform fatigue.
Big Station.
Haiti's transitional council made a significant decision on Tuesday by electing a Fritz Velzier, a former youth and sports minister, as the country's new prime minister. And hundreds of heavily armed police entered a central plaza at the University of California, Los Angeles early Thursday morning and dismantled a pro-Palestinian protest encampment.
Only on Q95.
I've been your presenter, Fidis Envalmond.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station.